Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
In issues of racism, there are going to be some who will say, why don't you stick to preaching gospel?
The social, political, and economic concerns have increasingly encroached upon the minds of those who should know better.
The real transformative work in a nation is the transformative work of the gospel.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
On how you define the word love.
It is where we are.
This is Wretched Radio. Where we are is a world whose love is growing cold, and we are feeling it everywhere. Don't forget, the Bible talks about different types of love because the Greek language is mega helpful regarding the subject. There's different shades, different slantings. There's 50 shades of love, give or take. Only this conversation won't be completely inappropriate and R-rated. You've got yourself a love for family. You've got a love for a spouse, a romantic eros love. You've got a general love, kind of a friendship sort of affair. And then you've got the highest of loves, which is agape, sacrificial love. How do we know that that's the best kind of love? Because that is the love that God exhibited toward us. And we know that not just from John 3:16, which might be the verse that's popping into your noodle, but 1 John 4. In this is love. So here it comes. This is love. So foreigner, if you're listening, you've wanted to know what love is. This is love. Not that we first loved God, but that he loved us and gave himself as a propitiation, actually the propitiation for us. That is love. Right now, the love of the world, it is growing increasingly cold, and we are starting to feel it more and more. Case in point number one, yikes, yikes. University professor argues that white evangelicals may end up killing us all. That's right. This is from an associate professor of religious and Africana studies at the University of Pennsylvania. This was a webinar about white evangelical racism. Oh, so nice to be accused of that sin. The Politics of Morality in America, hosted by the U of Virginia. As much as I hate to say this, yeah, well, here it comes. I'm going to put it this way, said the professor. If evangelicals don't change, they pose an existential crisis to us all. Well, 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 isn't it interesting that we used to get along and now white evangelicals are considered the bad guys, the people who are causing the problems? By the way, the university examined the comments and determined no problem. What she said was just fine. Now, a school teacher from Virginia who had the audacity to actually talk about something that is so commonsensical, you would think we would all be on the same page with this one. Men who think they're women participating in girls' sporting events. He spoke at a symposium. It was with the, I think, with the school board, to discuss the issue because they want boys to be able to participate with the girls.
My name is Tanner Cross, and I'm speaking out of love for those who suffer with gender dysphoria. 60 Minutes this past Sunday interviewed over 30 young people who transitioned, but they felt led astray because lack of pushback or how easy it was to make physical changes to their bodies in just 3 months. They are now detransitioning. It's not my intention to hurt anyone, but there are certain truths that we must face when ready. We condemn school policies like 8040 and 8035 because it will damage children, defile the holy image of God. I love all of my students, but I will never lie to them regardless of the consequences. I'm a teacher, but I serve God first, and I will not affirm that a biological boy can be a girl and vice versa because it's against my religion, it's lying to a child, it's abuse to a child, and it's sinning against our God.
That thought got him put on leave. Got to get that guy out of the classroom in Virginia. In the meantime, an associate professor of religious and Africana studies says, Evangelicals, if they don't change, they pose an existential crisis to us all. They've divided the nation politically. They don't want to believe in climate change. They don't want to get vaccines. They're part and parcel of the reason why we cannot move forward. Because they say they have religious beliefs. But this is religious recalcitrance. It's not something that is about belief. It's about theology for them. It's about a position that they have, that they've chosen to have, that is taking us all over the brink. And she was not censored. She was not put on leave. She was not canceled. The guy who speaks some common sense in Virginia, you're fired! You say I'm not persuaded the love of the world has grown cold yet. Let me describe for you the video that you're about to hear. It's a song called Mega Guillotine 2020. It was produced by AJJ, which I think is the Andrew Jackson something. And the images are pretty much what you're going to imagine on this particular song. It's a guillotine, a fellow singing about a guillotine. And then we actually see the dismembered heads of Donald Trump, of Mike Pence, Jeff Bezos, and anybody who's considered a capitalist. That's right.
Mega guillotine, I'm rooting for you.
What inspired this song? Bernie Sanders got booted. Joe Biden was the then nominee. And this fellow thought the only solution to our problem is a mega guillotine, one that cuts off multiple heads at a time. This is hysterical.
We're praying for you.
And just so we're not confused, there's the guillotine. It's one long blade with five people whose heads are above baskets. And then we see the heads cut off. Funny! Hysterical! And YouTube didn't censor them. You know what it takes to get censored on YouTube? I can. Anything conservative, anything Christian, it's out of here. But you sing about a mega guillotine and you're just fine. Double standard. You're not persuaded yet the love of the world has grown cold. New York City psychiatrist tells Yale audience, you remember the foundings of Yale, don't you? To be a seminary. She fantasizes about shooting white people in the head. That's right. At the Yale School of Medicine in April, she had fantasies of unloading a revolver into the head of any white person that got in my way. She also said she'd walk away from the shooting with a bounce in my step and that white people make my blood boil. They are out of their minds and have been for a long time. A flyer promoting the talk and posted online describes the lecture thusly, the psychopathic problem of the white mind. Are we all enjoying critical race theory yet? Anybody enjoying this yet? As we speak, the Southern Baptists are at their convention. No doubt this is a topic of discussion. I think they started, didn't they, Jimmy? No, not this week.
Next week.
It's next week?
Next week, yes.
Huh, time isn't flying. What do you know? I thought it was this week and that we'd maybe be getting some updates. But next week, we will definitely track it because they're definitely going to be debating the critical race theory business. This is what it promotes and produces. Oh, no, we'd never do that, say the proponents of CRT. We wouldn't let it go that far. That's ridiculous. You know, we've heard these things before. The flyer calls it the psychopathic problem of the white mind and included learning objectives such as set up white people's absence of empathy towards black rage as a problem and understand how white people are psychologically dependent on black rage. I don't know what that means. I don't know. Nothing makes me angrier than a white person who tells me not to be angry because they have not seen real anger yet. Before talking about how she systematically cut off most of her former white friends around 5 years ago. Well, isn't this just bringing us together, the CRT business?
That's not racism, is it?
No. We keep forgetting that it's not, by the way. And you know what? I'm willing to cede that point. It's no that if this is the rule that an oppressed person, presumably, they can't be racist because they're not oppressing. I say, okay, if that's how you want to define racism, that's a change in the definition, but we do that. So let's just call it what it is, hatred. It's hatred. It could be a lot of other things. So don't lose the war on debating about whether or not it's racism. Call it hatred. Quote, they have five holes in their brain. It's like banging your head against a brick wall. Talking to a demented, violent predator who thinks that they are a saint and a superhero to accept responsibility, it ain't gonna happen. Are you feeling the love tonight? How does the Christian respond? Next on Wretched Radio. Don't you just hate it when somebody says, oh, you gotta see this video? Well, then prepare to hate this because, oh, you gotta see this video. I'm looking at poor people in Eastern Europe receiving care packages from the Tomorrow Clubs. You're familiar with this amazing ministry in Eastern Europe in poor nations. They bring the gospel to little teeny tiny villages, can hardly call them towns. The kids gather, they get loved on, they get treats, and they get the gospel. But now, due to the COVID pandemic, poor people are even poorer. The Tomorrow Clubs are responding in tangible acts of kindness, putting together care packages to bring to the parents of these kids, and with it, they're bringing the gospel. Would you please visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, see the work that they're doing, and consider supporting the effort to bring the gospel to Eastern Europe, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
All right, so what are some of the best combinations you can think of? Rice and beans? Bacon and eggs? How about you and Wretched? Yep, that's right. When you become a Wretched Gospel partner, you and Wretched become one of the best combinations in the world. Combining our efforts allows us to reach more people all over the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's like peanut butter and jelly. Separately, they're pretty good, but combined together, they become great. And thanks to you, Wretched is among the top 5% of all podcasts across platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and all the others. Together, we have reached millions. As a matter of fact, check this out. Wretched has been downloaded nearly 11 million times. That is an amazing feat that we want to increase. Get all of the details on becoming a Wretched Gospel partner right now by visiting wretched.org/donate. Or you can text the word Wretched to the number 44321. You and Wretched, it's even better than salt and pepper.
Not that we normally quote Joseph Stalin on Wretched. Nevertheless, he rightly said the death of one man is a tragedy. The death of millions is a statistic. We have to be so careful that our Christian hearts don't grow cold when we hear the statistic that 1 million babies die every year from abortions. We need to remember that is one baby at a time. That is one mommy. That is one child. That is even one daddy.
My choice to become a mom and hear those little footsteps running down the hallway every morning is all because I had an ultrasound. It saved my life and hers.
Ultrasounds save lives, one baby at a time. How many ultrasounds could you provide through preborn.org/wretched for just $28 per ultrasound? Please help save one baby at a time. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done.
Jesus is called our ransom. Through our sin, we are in bondage to sin and death. But Christ paid the fine to satisfy God's justice and purchase us as his holy people. If you are in Christ, you no longer belong to sin, but to God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let us not fall into a fundamentalist ditch. This is Wretched Radio. If and you recall your evangelical history in America in the 20th century, evangelicals were growing courtesy of two great awakenings, but the predominant Baptistic movement would be described as fundamentalist. Why? Because they believe in the fundamentals. What does that mean for evangelicals? It means we have fellowship with one another. We don't hate one another. But we do see historically the roads that evangelicals and fundamentalists took, and they are unfortunately still wide. We're separated by too much, and we shouldn't be. Fundamentalist Baptists, I disagree with my brothers and sisters about some things. What type of Bible to use? What type of clothing women wear? Going to movies. None of these issues is included in any sort of historical statement of faith of orthodoxy that I'm aware of. They have the fundamentals down. So do evangelicals. That means we're going to be spending eternity in heaven together. I think it was the letter of John Newton that reminds us when you're talking about somebody who's a brother, just remember before you do, that person's going to be your dearest friend for all of eternity in heaven. Like everybody's going to be, by the way. Who's your best friend in heaven? Everyone. That's how it's going to work. We're going to be in Christ together. Jesus will be the center of attention, and we will not be with each other. Now, please note, outside of orthodoxy, that's fine. With brothers and sisters, need to remember, we're going to be spending a long eternity with them, and we should consider how it is we talk about them and even associate with them. The fundamentalists saw what was going on in the world. You can thank in part. It was perhaps the catalyst, sort of like the 95 Theses on the door was the catalyst of the Reformation, but there were things that were trickling. Nevertheless, until the Scopes Monkey trial, which made fundamentalist Christianity look like we were rubes. And the fundamentalist movement, this is a simplification, certainly, they decided we are going to back off and we're going to get out of the culture wars. We're not going to bring our Christianity outside of the church. And so it is, they became more inwardly focused. Evangelicals came along, we'll call it 1950, Billy Graham, probably leading the way, saying, no, we need to be more engaged. Billy Graham regularly spoke on big issues, war issues, communism issues, threats of foreign nations, economy issues. It was very loaded with political speak. And so it is, the evangelicals and the fundamentalists found themselves drifting further and further apart because one movement wanted nothing to do with culture. The other movement increasingly became consumed with nothing but culture. Where we are just here to try to make sure certain politicians are in office, that certain policies are being implemented, which, by the way, all fine things. But that almost has become the hallmark of what evangelical Christianity is known as. You can take a look at a whole lot of studies and surveys out there, and you will see that people believe that evangelicals predominantly are political beings. It's as if we're not a Christian denomination or movement, we're a political action committee. On the one hand, you've got fundamentalists. On the other hand, you've got evangelicals. Which path is right? Which road should we be on? I wonder if our brothers and sisters in the Southern Baptist Convention might be considering this as their meeting soon draws together 13,000 messengers of the Southern Baptist Convention, wondering if this isn't a conversation we should reconsider. What is the role of the church, which is a different question than what is the role of an individual, in the world? What is it? And why is the world really hating us so much. And they're thinking that we're just idiots who need to be silenced for our beliefs. Once again, you can take a look at a fair amount of polls and you will see that people think that evangelicals are way too political. And what the issue, what's happened with that is we identify with a political party. The political party isn't liked, therefore we're not liked. I believe it's the associative property. I don't want to get all mathematical on you. The associative, is it property? The associative, there's the transitive and there's the associative. It's one of those. They're just sometimes when I don't want to look too smart and throw out all these big terms. Todd, we don't think you're in danger of that. What is the road that we are to be on? What is our message to the world? Is it possible? I'm just asking this, and believe me, this is a loving question. This is not a snark. Well, I'm not Southern Baptist. I want Southern Baptists to succeed. They're brothers and sisters, a lot of very good ones. Well, not like there's bad brothers and sisters, but you get my point. They're orthodox, and we want the denomination to not divide and to not get weakened and to not compromise. But is it also possible that the Southern Baptist Convention is doing the opposite of compromising on social issues and maybe just too engaged in them? Let me offer, as a case in point, and perhaps something for all of us to ponder, SBC or not, why is CRT the big debate at this year's Southern Baptist Convention? Why? The answer, I believe, is pragmatism. Because this is a movement of evangelicalism that insists on being engaged. How do I know that they're engaged politically? Well, it's the ERLC, which has just been abandoned by Russell Moore, which, by the way, for whatever it's worth, Russell Moore caused all kinds of controversies in the SBC. Why? Because so much of it was political. You know, he also caused some consternation regarding CRT, but there was just a lot of people that were getting annoyed with him because they thought he was a liberal. That's because the ERLC is a political action committee. It is located in Washington. Why not Lincoln, Nebraska, where it's cheaper and, frankly, I think really, really pretty. Lincoln is a really cool little town. The ERLC is a political arm of the Southern Baptist Convention. Why? Because they are on the evangelical road of being engaged politically. They believe that is how we can be salt and light. And to a degree, I don't disagree with that. The question is, what is the degree that we should be participating, and what is our message to the world? Is it possible that the SBC is embroiled in CRT because the world is embroiled? Isn't it true that the church tends to follow along with culture? George Barna would say always about 18 months behind. I think it's usually longer, but who am I to argue with the great pollster? We tend to ape the culture. They're talking about it. We're talking about it. So I'm just wondering, what if our churches talked about Jesus Christ, the gospel, tended to the sheep, addressed social issues as it's affecting the local church and its people, and that's it. Administer the ordinances. Preach the word two times, in season and out of season. Do the work of evangelists. Make the most of every opportunity. Go and make disciples. Is it maybe time for the Southern Baptist Convention and those of us who aren't to consider, what are we doing in this world? Now, do I think that we should be like fundamentalists who have disengaged almost entirely from all social issues? No, I don't. I think we should talk about them. I think we should discuss them. We should know where we stand on them. We can talk about it in Sunday school classes, and the pastor can preach it from the pulpit as he sees fit. But to get fully embroiled and fully immersed into political movements, social movements, even economic movements, I know we have something to say about it. I know. But the world is hating us because they don't see us so much as being followers of Jesus Christ, but it's their perception, and this actually isn't much of an exaggeration. They see us more as followers of Donald Trump. Which road should we be on? Because as we travel this weary road, the world is increasingly hating us. And I wonder if we're responding likewise because we're seeing everything through a political filter. They're wrong on abortion. They're wrong on marriage. They're wrong on genders. They're wrong on free speech. They're just wrong. And it agitates us when we're called to love our enemies because we don't see them as a political opponent. We see them as the harvest field. And therefore, as the world hates us, we need to be loving them. And maybe the reason that we're not doing that as much as we should is because we see them more as a debate opponent on Fox News. The world is lost. Of course, they're bearing dumb fruit. They don't need better thinking. They need Jesus. That is how we respond to the love of the world growing cold. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, a Christian doctor from the UK has been prohibited from issuing prescriptions that could save the life of unborn children. The doctor was prevented by the Medical Practitioners Tribunal Service, which is the UK's professional body of physicians, from providing life-saving treatment to pregnant women for a year and a half while he's been investigated. The doctor has been very vocal about his pro-life Christian beliefs, and that's led to him being in constant conflict with the board. Christian Concern featured the doctor's case on their website and said that women helped by the doctor have surfaced in support of him. U.S. Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona says in a new interview that the Biden administration will act to protect transgender athletes against state laws that prohibit biological boys from playing on girls' teams. Why? It's like opposites day when we were kids, except now it's real-life opposites time in this country. I don't know. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis last week became the latest governor to sign a bill prohibiting biological males from competing on female teams. DeSantis said the Florida law is a matter of common sense. Yeah, it is. But unfortunately, those running our country lack that common sense. A recent Gallup poll found that 62% of Americans say they believe transgender athletes should play on teams that match their birth at gender. Well, in Pakistan, the Lahore High Court has acquitted a Pakistani Christian couple sentenced to death for blasphemy 7 years ago. The couple was arrested and charged with the blasphemy in July 2013 for allegedly sending texts insulting Muhammad to a local imam. Anyone convicted of insulting Islam or Muhammad faces the death penalty under Pakistan's stringent blasphemy laws. During the couple's trial, their attorney speculated that a neighbor with whom the couple had a falling out could have tried to frame them by obtaining a SIM card in the wife's name and sending the text messages. A Calgary church that saw its building closed by the government remained undeterred last Sunday and held an outdoor worship service at an undisclosed location. Alberta Health Services said Saturday that it had physically closed Fairview Baptist Church in Calgary until Pastor Tim Stevens could demonstrate the ability to comply with COVID restrictions. But the lack of a building did not stop the congregation from gathering Sunday for worship. Stevens was arrested in May following a service for violating health restrictions. Those charges, however, were later dropped. And Pennsylvania House lawmakers approved a pro-life bill on Tuesday to protect unborn babies with Down syndrome from being targeted for abortions. The pro-life bill has a strong chance of passing the state legislature. However, Governor Tom Wolf, a pro-abortion Democrat, used to volunteer at Planned Parenthood and has vowed to veto the legislation. Of course he will, because why on earth would anyone want to prohibit the murder of innocent babies? More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Revelation. Special revelation is God's act of making himself known through direct means. In history, God has spoken directly to people like Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and the prophets. 2,000 years ago, he revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Today, he reveals himself in his perfect word, the Bible. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's practice what I just preached. This is Wretched Radio. The world is lost. Has there ever been more evidence that we are living in a world of fools? people whose minds are not enlightened by the Holy Spirit of God, who do not possess the mind of Christ, whose thinking continues to reveal itself as a rapid descent into complete debauchery, you and I have got to be very, very careful that we continue to be salt. We continue to be light. We are not going to hide in our homes and never talk about nothing. But on the other hand, when we tend to spend more time studying the daily news than the Word of God, our hearts are going to be contaminated. Garbage in, garbage out. You are what you eat. And if you're consuming a lot of the political news and just all of the dumb things that they're doing, and sometimes exaggerated, sometimes not, that you're going to cultivate that in your spirit, and you are going to look at people who they show signs of being a liberal, and they suddenly, you have got a definite opinion about them, don't you? I know that I do that. We all do that. And I need to work hard on overcoming my desire to lecture them, change their mind, or scold them, or just be downright angry at them and separate from them. We're not supposed to be separated. We're supposed to be loving. And yet our world is growing colder. Division is increasing in this world. And you and I are very inclined to go with it if we are not careful. We will become haters of the world, not lovers of people. And so it is. We need to make sure that we are walking in a way that is aimed at a higher purpose. Politics have their role. Social issues, they're important. I prefer human flourishing. I love freedom of religion for my children and for me. Don't mind telling you that too. But people going to hell is more important. Just, it's that simple. Yeah, perhaps you have to a degree. I know that I have, but it's a sliver of the pie of understanding about death. Teach us, Lord, to number our days. Better is a day in the house of mourning than in the house of rejoicing. Why? Because it brings about an eternal perspective. Just think of the myriads of people who are no longer on this planet. Nobody knows their name. They had jobs. They did important things. They raise children. They're gone. And they just, nobody, everything, it's like you and I are like a finger in a dish of water. Pull it out and it just fills in. No problem. You just, oh, is the finger gone? We don't care. It's filled in. And that is what it is like in the world. Somebody is plucked from this planet and it just carries on. Don't you see this even at funerals? This, believe me, this is not a critique if this might describe a funeral that you have attended. But it's true, isn't it, that at a funeral, it's not always just crying and mourning. You start to hear people, when the potluck happens, food is served at a funeral. Laughter begins. Now, I'm not saying that any of those things are wrong, but I am saying that we're quick to just move on. Now, if it's a close loved one, that lingers longer. But you'll hear about somebody dying, you go, oh, that's terrible. And then we're done. That's the vanity of life. And we need to set our eyes higher on eternal things. I don't want people voting for liberals. But more than that, I want them to go to heaven. Because if they don't, it is going to be awful. Do you know who I think cultivates this perhaps the best? Ray Comfort. Well, maybe not the best, but certainly in a fine way. When he talks to somebody, when he's witnessing to somebody, which is basically the only time Ray talks to somebody, because that's all he does with people is just witness to them. It terrifies me. I'm sick to my stomach thinking about you going to hell. That should be our feeling. If they must march off the cliff, let them go with our arms wrapped around their legs. Don't jump into eternity without Jesus Christ. They're the harvest field, not the enemy. Let's see if we can practice what I'm trying to preach. Stories that begin bad and continue to get more annoying and more shocking and worse. Burger King. They've decided to take a clear poke at the Chick-fil-A, you know, the Christian fast food chain. Here was the tweet. During hashtag Pride Month, in parentheses, even on Sundays. They're not talking about Zaxby's. They're not talking about McDonald's. Your chicken sandwich craving can be good. We are making a donation to HRC for every chicken sandwich sold. What's the HRC? It's an acronym for Human Rights Campaign, the nation's largest LGBT advocacy group. Maximum donation, $250,000. That's annoying. And most likely, the people who sent out this tweet and approved it are going to die and go to hell. Story number two. High school prohibits valedictorian from speaking about Christianity in speech. I don't have to cite that this one is in Michigan. This is going on all over the country. This is an every year sort of affair. The individual, the smarty pants kid, who is put in the position of giving a speech would like to share something about their Christian faith, and the school says no. And we get agitated. And I, believe me, I feel that. But people who desire to stifle speech about Jesus Christ, okay, I grant you, they might be a Christian who is of the opinion, hey, this isn't the place, and you're not sinning by not talking about Jesus in a high school graduation speech. I get that. But chances are pretty good they're not believers, and we're getting mad at them. I get it. Believe me, I totally get it. And this is not to suggest that we don't keep doing stuff to work against this. But when we do it in a way that it's the all-consuming passion, the people that we're dealing with tend to become a military combatant. Story number three. This won't perhaps agitate you as much as disgust you. This is difficult to share this story because I have to so censor it as to be appropriate for adults and children. Danish journalist was intimate with a man during her interview for a segment about a swingers club. She's 26 years old, this girl. 26 years old. Went to the swingers club, Radio 4 in Denmark. I don't have a boyfriend, and that definitely makes it a lot easier. My mother just thinks it's funny and laughs. My father thought it was really cool. Dad, not cool. How do I feel about these people? It's a disgusting story. The response, by the way, this is the reaction to her, quote, unorthodox interview style. Most of them were very positive. They thought it was brave and cool. I guess cool is the operative word. Wait a second, not to be outdone. The station had this to say. Get ready for this. I feel like I just think it's cool. Oh, that word. When the reporters try to make the stories in a different way. Yes. Yes. That it. Yes. Therefore, it's a good thing that she did. It was on the Denmark Radio 4, whatever that is. You were actually hearing two people do what should only be done in the privacy of a married couple's bedroom. Teen Vogue, sorry about this. Teen Vogue explains how to use menstrual blood in witchcraft to their 12 to 17-year-old readers. The article is titled Menstrual Blood Magic, Three Spells for Your Period. It's the latest installment of their Practical Magic Witchcraft series. The writer talks about how this event in a woman's life are tragic, especially during the full moon. Menstrual blood can be used in spells to ward off evil and protect us if used properly, she said in the article. Quote, sorry, collect the blood, and add a few drops to a small cup of water to use as ink to write a list of people or situations you wish to release from your life. When your list is completed, set it on fire and picture all of the negativity leaving your Yeah, energetic field. Could that be any more? What would be the word? No, depraved? That doesn't seem to be quite enough. Demonic? Yeah, that too. And totally, completely, and utterly lost. Whoever is writing this dreck and approving this dreck, they are not helping girls, they're not helping our world, and they're not helping their souls, because if they die in their sins, they're damned. And as agitated as this makes me, I cannot let it overwhelm me. It must be righteous indignation so that I can do what Jesus said to do, and that is love our enemies. This is Wretched Radio.
I say potato, you say potato. I say primer, he says primer. For the last 20 years, there's been a remarkable amount of talk about the gospel. But could it be that we've been talking more about the message than we have the wellspring of the message? The word gospel is used 25 times in the New Testament, but the word Jesus is used 691 times. Have we majored more on the message than we have on the center of the message? Maybe it's time we fill our hearts and our conversations more with Jesus. And Wretched has a unique opportunity for you to begin doing just that. Pastor Milton Vincent has written a powerful book that we know will grow your love for Christ. He calls it The Gospel Primer. I say primer. Either way, we wanted to make this book available to you because we want you to begin to experience the joy of the Lord in a more powerful way. Get your copy of The Gospel Primer, by visiting wretched.org/gospel. That's wretched.org/gospel.
Surprise! I continue to be surprised by MediShare, even though I researched it like nobody's business before Mrs. Friel and I committed to affordable, biblical health sharing as opposed to our traditional insurance plan. I researched, but I did not know all of the things that I'm discovering about MediShare. For instance, people are way more satisfied after making the switch. The customer satisfaction rate is double that of typical health insurance plans. Double. Is MediShare right for everyone? No, nothing really is. But it might be right for your family, and you might be very, very happy with it, especially when you're saving on average $500 per month per family. Interested? Learn more at MediShare.com/wretched or receive a quote within 2 minutes by calling 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
The father of lies has been a murderer from the start. His MO hasn't changed in 6,000 years. He desires to deceive people into doubt, and that can ultimately lead to disjointed desires, affections, behaviors, thinking, and worship. But Jesus is much better at what he does, telling the truth and giving life abundantly. And we want to help remind you of all the promises God has given us and just how much his word is sufficient for all of our struggles. Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3 is here. It's a 63-lecture series that biblically tackles issues like abuse, self-harm, eating disorders, addictions, and suicide. Order your copy right now and start learning how to apply the truth of Scripture to your life and to your struggles. God hasn't left us empty-handed. Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3 is available right now at wretched.org/counseling3. That's wretched.org/counseling3.
Books of the Bible. The book of Obadiah is a prophecy against the nation of Edom, who were descendants of Jacob's brother, Esau. Obadiah's message is clear. God will punish those who persecute his people. When you face troubles of any kind, turn to the Lord. Renew your faith in him, for he cares for his people. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Has there ever been a finer line? This is Wretched Radio. As is with the case of, I believe, every single emotion, there's a good kind and there's a bad kind. You can be wrongly jealous. You can be like God, and that is righteously jealous. You can love good things. You can love sinful things. And you can be angry if it's righteous, but on the other side, if it's unrighteous, where is the line? It is very fine. God is angry at the wicked every day. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Which one is it? Yes. It's both. It's both. Because his indignation is righteous. It's not just an annoyed sort of anger. That's what we tend to exhibit, isn't it? That we just get just agitated. Why are you in my way? Why don't you clean your room? Why do these people drive like this? It's because it inconveniences me. That tends to be our sinful anger side. But there is a righteous side where we do indeed get angry at righteousness or at unrighteousness, all the while still loving people. How easy is that? It's totally not. And that's why we need supernatural help, because you and I can't do that. Maybe you can. I can't. I don't mean to speak for you, but I can't do that by myself, because it's not my natural fleshly inclination. I just want to be annoyed. But when we see God being offended, when we see wicked behavior, it is right to be angry righteously while loving them. Let's see if we can find that line, shall we? I'm very sorry to all of my Christian friends who love the Hallmark Channel, but if you thought they were your friends, CBS, CMT, is that the country music channel? Country music, CMT, country music what?
Television. TV. Television, yes. It's okay.
And Hallmark are refusing to air this ad.
5 decades of medical breakthroughs. Every age group has more opportunity to live. Except one. The unborn still fall victim to outdated laws. Science tells us that at 15 weeks, these babies have formed faces. They smile, they yawn, they feel pain. It's why European countries ban late-term abortions. In 5 decades, we've learned they are just like us. Isn't it time the law reflects the science?
That's a brilliant ad. It won't be seen on Hallmark. Here is what a CBS official explained. That issue-oriented advertisements that are designed for the purpose of presenting views or influencing legislation on issues that are controversial by general public consensus are unacceptable. And yet, they have ads. And they certainly have programming that does that very thing for liberal causes. Now, we can get furious and agitated by this, or we can see this on a spiritual plane. This is a war, not on earth, in the heavenly realms. This is light and darkness going on, and the stakes are eternal. That's why I don't want to be just focused, and I said just focused on the temporal. Besides, it's going to make me sour. From Hallmark, it does not meet the Hallmark Channel's criteria for the positive experience Hallmark aims to offer viewers. Well, I can tell you, Christians didn't really have a great experience when the couple in their romance movie was the same gender and they smooched. But they do that. But they won't run a really well-done pro-life ad, I gotta tell you. How do you feel about Hallmark now? Story number whatever we're on. PBS defending kids' drag queen TV show as performance art. Oh, that's what it is. It's not presenting something that is grossly wrong. It's performance art. New York City's PBS station promoted a book titled The Hips on the Drag Queen Go Swish, Swish, Swished. Produced by the PBS station in New York City and the New York City Department of Education. The featured book is about a drag queen with a blue mustache named Cinderfella. Jerry Lewis called. He wants his bit back. The program strives to incorporate themes that explore diversity and promote inclusivity, which are relevant to education and society. Drag is a performance art that can inspire creative thinking and questioning of stereotypes. There it is. And the people doing this are going to die in their sins and go to hell. Maybe we've Maybe we just have to get used to saying PBS isn't ours. Maybe, sadly, tragically, mournfully, we have to get used to saying, you know what? Kids aren't just, they're just not going to be allowed to pray or say anything about Jesus at a valedictorian speech. That's just not the big battle. Now, if you're engaged in that on your local level and doing that, as long as it's done lovingly and theologically and biblically. Ontario fines church $66,000 for holding outdoor services after the police lock the building. That is warring against the church. Putting a padlock on the door? I know, it's about the whole COVID business. But this can make you mad. Can it? Maybe this story will do it for you. Having a kid is probably my biggest life regret. Wife concurs. This is taken from a website. I don't know if it's good or not. That's not the point. They compiled people's comments about their attitude toward their children. You want an example of the love of the world growing cold? Here it is. One said, "This is not the life I wanted. My toddler son is a tornado of destruction." Well, if a kid's a tornado, the parents need to be better weathermen and get it under control. And will break, tear, rip anything he can get his hands on, no matter how much I do to wear him out. Well, that's one way to deal with the kid. You exhaust them, or you biblically discipline them. It's funny how it will drive that out of a child. Nevertheless, and the baby predictably is needy because, well, she's a baby. But I feel tricked into wanting them by biological urges, that romanticized version of kids that isn't close to reality. Speaking of romantic, you're actually hearing romanticism in that. Self, me, mine, everything in this planet revolves around moi. That's romanticism at its core. And this is a fruit of that worldview. I'm here for me. And these kids wreck it. I'm not having as much fun. This is the individualism that pervades Western civilization. Another said, "I feel like my old life stopped when my baby was born, and I miss it. I used to see bands, go to the theater, read books, travel, and visit bars. I used to have conversations about art, politics, and music. Now it's about schools, lawns, and swimming classes. I'm lucky if I get a couple of hours a week to myself." Love of the world growing cold. I see a story like this and it breaks my heart. And I can be inclined to just think how terrible these people are. But they're lost more than anything. They're just lost. There's actually on Facebook, there is a "I regret having children" Facebook page where you can go and bellyache about your babies. Why? Because they're hard work and it's about doing something for others as opposed to doing it for self. Interesting note from the article. Research shows almost all couples, 92%, experience increased conflict their first year of parenthood, with the most divisive issues being the division of workload. 2/3 report that their relationship suffered during the first 3 years of having a child. Clearly, they don't have drive-by marriage available at wretched.org with a study guide. If none of these stories have gotten your goat, I've saved this one for last. Scottish Teachers Union sparks outrage over plans for a transgender Jesus play. Should I be righteously angry about this? Yeah. And so should you. Because this is a direct aim at the Lord Jesus Christ. The Education Institute of Scotland claims to represent around 80% of the country's lecturers and teachers, plans to hold an LGBT event where they feature excerpts of the Gospel According to Jesus, Queen of Heaven. It invites us to imagine Jesus coming back to earth in the present day as a trans woman. The play recreates biblical stories with, quote, a different slant. Yeah, I'll say that's different. Entirely unbiblical and entirely blasphemous. And now I have myself some righteous indignation. That part, that actually comes pretty easy as long as I keep it on the right side of the thin line. Now I've got to work hard to still love these people. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.